World Socialist Website, Saturday, December 28th, 2024. Trump administration preparing historic attack on immigrant workers and democratic rights. By Eric London. In a series of recent interviews, Donald Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, is bringing the incoming administration's nightmarish mass deportation plans into focus. Despite the muted response among the Democratic Party and its allies in the corporate media, Homan's statements make clear that the administration is planning a social crime of historic proportions. Speaking to CNN last week, Homan said the administration's immediate plans consist of constructing facilities with at least 100,000 beds to detain immigrants slated for deportation. This figure, nearly triple the current national detention capacity, will require the construction of a network of internment camps located throughout the country, though these will be built primarily in the inhabitable southwestern desert. The military, Homan said, will initially be responsible for establishing the vast logistical network that will be required to carry out the administration's plans. He mentioned that military transport planes will be used to fly immigrants out of the country, but transporting tens of thousands of families to tent cities in the desert will also likely require commissioning ground vehicles like buses and trains, with depots and assembly centers in major urban areas. Use of the military to engage in law enforcement activities beyond transport would require invoking the Insurrection Act or Alien Enemies Act, which would abolish posse comitatus and place the country under a form of martial law. Homan also confirmed that the administration's plan entails mass arrests of entire families, including U.S. citizens. "We're going to need to construct family facilities," Homan told the Washington Post in an article published Thursday. Summarizing Homan's comments, the Post reported that immigration authorities will look to hold parents with children in soft-sided tent structures similar to those used by U.S. border officials to handle immigration surges. "The government will not hesitate to deport parents who are in the country illegally, even if they have young U.S.-born children," he added, leaving it to those families to decide whether to exit together or be split up. Homan was asked by News Nation what the incoming administration will do with the U.S. citizen children of immigrants who remain in the country when their parents are deported. "They're going to be put in a halfway house," Homan said. "There are 4.4 million citizen children with at least one undocumented parent, and the proposal for the construction of a network of state-run child prisons orphanages for masses of U.S. citizen children has gone almost without comment in the corporate media. The closest historical parallel for such policies is the Japanese internment, when the Democratic administration of Franklin Delano Roosevelt removed 120,000 Japanese immigrants and American citizens of Japanese descent from their homes and businesses and relocated them into a network of internment camps in isolated parts of the Southwest and Mountain West. Trump himself has also referred favorably to Operation Wetback, the 1954 military-style operation, which resulted in the removal of an estimated 1 million Mexican immigrants, including thousands of U.S. citizens. But conditions at the tent cities that will house today's targets will likely be even worse than the abysmal conditions in which World War II internees were detained. According to a report on conditions in one smaller tent-based internment camp constructed in 2018, the facility is made up of 10 large tents, each of which is designed to house 200 individuals. The tents are completely windowless, and the lights are on around the clock, making it difficult for detainees to sleep. No partitions exist to separate the showers, toilets, sinks, and eating areas. And detainees report that they are occasionally forced to eat with their hands because no utensils are provided. When detainees are permitted to go outside of the tents for recreation, they do not appear to be provided with warm weather clothing. Detainees who are sent to this remote facility near the southern border may have been transferred from places as far away as Boston, New York, and Florida. As a result of the transfer, detainees are not only separated from their loved ones, but may also find it impossible to obtain legal representation. The amount of money required to establish these camps and fill them with families will be astronomical. According to Homan, the initial price tag will be $86 billion. Congress needs to fund this deportation operation, Homan told CNN. It's going to be expensive, and everybody is focused on how expensive it's going to be. This sum is more than four times the average annual federal expenditure on immigration enforcement over the past 20 years. It exposes the lie that the Trump administration's attack on immigrants is aimed at improving the living standards of workers who live in the United States and happen to be citizens. $86 billion could be used to provide housing to every homeless person in the United States or to pay off the medical debt of some 10 million Americans. Instead, Trump plans to direct resources away from the working class to terrorize immigrant workers and their citizen family members. The impact of mass deportation on the non-immigrant population would be devastating. A report from the American Immigration Council estimates that removing 1 million immigrants would generate a GDP decline of between 4.2 and 6.8%. The Democratic Party has responded to these plans by pledging to collaborate with Trump's attack on immigrants. Earlier this month, the New York Times published an article titled "Resist Trump? On Immigration, Top Democrats See Room for Compromise," which noted that leading Democratic governors like Gavin Newsom, California, Kathy Hochul, New York, and Phil Murphy, New Jersey, showed a surprising willingness to work with Trump. By the end of his term, Biden will have deported 1.6 million immigrants, slightly more than Trump did in his first term. Kamala Harris ran a right-wing campaign that touted her willingness to get tough at the border. Trump's plan is the spearhead of an assault on the democratic rights of the entire population. Immigrant workers comprise a critical section of the working class in the United States and make up either majorities or substantial minorities of the total labor force in agriculture, textiles, meatpacking, construction, and hospitality. The defense of the rights of immigrant workers is a strategic necessity for workers of all nationalities and immigration statuses. The American ruling class, reeling from one imperialist war to another, is attempting to introduce dictatorial methods of rule to tame the working class and subordinate every aspect of social and economic life to the needs of its war efforts. Taking a page from Hitler's playbook, the administration aims to scapegoat immigrants for social ills and distract social anger away from the corporations and the capitalist system. Homan and the incoming administration are keenly aware that the provocative policies will generate massive outrage within the population at large, including among many who voted for Trump. "We can't lose the faith of the American people," Homan told the Washington Post in a telling remark. What both the Trump and Democratic factions of the American ruling class fear most of all is that a movement will emerge to defend immigrant workers and basic democratic rights, which develops into a self-conscious movement based in the working class against imperialist war and the capitalist system. Those interested in building such a movement should join the Socialist Equality Party today. Israeli strike endangers World Health Organization Director General in Yemen. By Kevin Reed. Israel launched a wave of airstrikes against Yemen on Thursday, several of which struck the country's main airport, where Director General of the World Health Organization, WHO, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, was preparing to board a flight. One member of the UN airplane crew was injured, and at least six people were killed in the air raids. There are only two possible explanations for the air assault on the Yemen airport while Tedros was present there. Either Israel deliberately tried to assassinate him, or the Zionist regime was indifferent to his possible death and considered it acceptable collateral damage. The air assault on Sana'a International Airport, where a United Nations delegation including Tedros was getting ready to leave the country, also takes place within the context of continuous denunciations of the UN by Israel, as well as repeated military attacks on UN peacekeeping forces in Lebanon. Speaking to Reuters, Tedros said the UN delegation was about to board a plane when the Israeli attacks began. Tedros said he was not sure he would survive when missiles struck the terminal just meters from where he was standing. He said the explosions rocked the building and were so deafening that his ears were still ringing more than a day later. The Reuters report continued, Tedros said it quickly became apparent the airport was under attack, describing people running in disarray through the site after approximately four blasts, one of them alarmingly close to where he was sitting near the departure lounge. I was not sure actually I could survive because it was so close, a few meters from where we were, he told Reuters. A slight deviation could have resulted in a direct hit. Tedros said he and his colleagues were stuck at the airport for the next hour or so as what he thought were drones flew overhead, feeding concern they could open fire again. Among the debris, he and colleagues saw missile fragments, he said. There was no shelter at all, nothing. So, you're just exposed, just waiting for anything to happen, he said. Al Jazeera reported that the Houthi-controlled Sabah news agency said three people were killed at the airport, and another three were killed after Israel hit the key port city of Hodeidah, a city on the Red Sea about 240 kilometers, 149 miles, southwest of Sana'a. The news agency also reported 40 others were wounded in the Israeli attacks. Israel's military said it carried out intelligence-based strikes on military targets belonging to the Houthi terrorist regime on the western coast and inland Yemen. Israel also claimed Sana'a Airport, as well as the Hezyaz and Ras Kanatib power stations, and sites in the Al-Hudaydah, Salif, and Ras Kanatib ports on the west coast were all used to smuggle Iranian weapons and senior Iranian officials into the country. The Al Jazeera report said Ghebreyesus and his staff were evacuated out to safety in Jordan. UN spokesperson Stephanie Tremblay told reporters in New York that the delegation had just concluded discussions on the humanitarian situation in Yemen and were negotiating the release of detained UN staff members. Tremblay said, "The Secretary General emphasizes that international law, including humanitarian law as applicable, must be respected at all times, and he appeals to all to respect and protect civilians and civilian infrastructure," and added, "Humanitarian relief personnel also must not be targeted and must be respected and protected at all times." Mohammed Ali al-Houthi, head of the Houthis' Supreme Revolutionary Committee, called the strikes on Yemen barbaric and aggressive. He also said, "Confrontations with American and Israeli arrogance will continue until the conflict in Gaza stops." Responding to the escalation, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called the strikes especially alarming. Writing on Twitter X, he said, "I regret the recent escalation between Yemen and Israel and remain deeply concerned about the risk of further escalation in the region." The brutal strikes on Yemen, which were reported to be carried out by 25 Israeli jet fighters and coordinated by the US and UK, are a significant intensification of the imperialist war drive throughout the Middle East focused against Iran. The escalation against Yemen follows the overthrow of the Syrian regime of Bashar al-Assad by the imperialist-backed and al-Qaeda-linked group Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, HTS, the Organization for the Liberation of the Levant, 3 weeks ago. The air attack on Thursday came 5 days after the U.S. conducted a series of its own precision missile strikes on facilities in the capital city of Sana'a. At the time, the U.S. military's Central Command said the purpose of the strikes was to disrupt and degrade Houthi operations as part of an ongoing commitment to protect U.S. and coalition personnel, regional partners, and international shipping. The public relations verbiage from the Pentagon cannot conceal the fact that behind the expanding war in the Middle East, of which the Israeli genocide in Gaza is the linchpin, is the strategic goal by U.S. imperialism to subordinate the entire region to its hegemonic interests. In comments shortly after the strikes on Thursday, Israel's fascist Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the Zionists would continue to cut off the terror arm of the Iranian axis of evil until we complete the job, adding, "We are only just starting with the Houthis." Iran described the strikes as a clear violation of international peace and security. Houthi rebels have attacked Israel since the first months of the Gaza genocide that began in October 2023. A week ago, a Houthi missile strike injured more than a dozen people in Israel. Trump seizes on Biden commutations to pledge resumption of federal executions. By Barry Gray. Donald Trump has seized on Joe Biden's commutation of the death penalty for 37 of the 40 prisoners on federal death row to tout his bloodthirsty support for capital punishment. The incoming president and aspiring dictator denounced Biden's December 23rd commutations and pledged to make the resumption of federal executions and an expansion of the death penalty a top priority of his second term. On Monday, Biden commuted the death sentences of all but three federal death row inmates to life in prison without the possibility of parole. The exceptions were Dylan Roof, who carried out the 2015 slayings of nine black members of Mother Emanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, 2013 Boston Marathon bomber Joe Kartsarnaev, and Robert Bowers, who fatally shot 11 congregants at Pittsburgh's Tree of Life Synagogue in 2018. In the message announcing the move, the White House said Biden opposed the death penalty in most cases, and his actions would prevent the incoming Trump administration from carrying out the execution sentences that would not be handed down under current policy and practice. Biden has no problem supporting mass murder in Gaza with arms and political backing for the perpetrators, but seeks to dissociate himself from the death penalty in most cases because the practice cuts across the efforts of U.S. imperialism to present itself as a force for democracy. On Tuesday, Trump denounced Biden's actions on his Truth Social platform and pledged to vigorously pursue capital punishment when he takes office for the second time. Trump wrote, "Joe Biden just commuted the death sentence on 37 of the worst killers in our country." Trump promised that he would direct the Justice Department to pursue the death penalty as soon as I am inaugurated, adding, "We will be a nation of law and order again." On Wednesday, Trump included in a Christmas message threatening U.S. takeovers of Canada, the Panama Canal, and Greenland, a further attack on Biden's pardon, in reality commutation, of the 37 most violent criminals who killed, raped, and plundered like virtually no one before them, but were just given, incredibly, a pardon by Sleepy Joe Biden. He continued, "I refuse to wish a Merry Christmas to those lucky souls, but instead will say, go to hell." Trump has a brutal and extensive record of promoting and employing the death penalty, a barbaric relic of the Middle Ages that has been fully abolished by a large majority of industrialized countries, including the major countries of the European Union, as well as Australia, Brazil, South Africa, Mexico, and Argentina, and ended in practice by the other EU member states. Since the reinstatement of the federal death penalty in 1976, there have been 16 federal executions. All but three were carried out by Trump during his first term as president. In 2020, the final year of Trump's first term, the federal government executed 10 individuals, the most executions by the federal government since 1896, and more than all 50 states combined that year. Upon taking office in January 2021, Biden imposed a moratorium on federal executions. In his speech launching his 2024 presidential campaign, Trump pledged to seek the death penalty for drug dealers. He said, "We're going to be asking everyone who sells drugs, gets caught, to receive the death penalty for their heinous acts." On the stump, he called for expanding the federal death penalty, including for those who kill police officers, those convicted of drug and human trafficking, and migrants who kill U.S. citizens. During the final weeks of the campaign, Trump repeatedly vowed to push for the death penalty for any migrant who kills a citizen or a law enforcement officer. There is speculation that upon assuming office, Trump will attempt to have the federal courts take over some state murder cases, such as those related to drug trafficking or smuggling. He could also seek to take cases from states that have abolished the death penalty. Popular support for the death penalty is actually declining in the U.S. According to a Gallup poll taken in October 2024, about half of Americans were in favor of the death penalty for people convicted of murder, down from roughly 70% in 2007. Promotion of the death penalty is a critical component of Trump's bid to establish a presidential dictatorship. It is part of the anti-immigrant agitation that is central to his America First, ultra-nationalistic ideological offensive and fascist incitement. To carry out the mass incarceration and deportation of immigrants, gutting of basic social programs, and escalation of militarism and war requires a buildup of the repressive apparatus of the state against the inevitable eruption of mass social opposition. The death penalty is meant to intimidate the population with the lethal power of the state. This is the policy not simply of Trump as an individual, but of significant sections of the American capitalist oligarchy. To this end, all forms of backwardness and reaction must be promoted. There are many signs of a buildup of internal tensions in the United States that have revolutionary implications. The outpouring of popular hatred for the health insurance industry following the murder of United Health CEO Brian Thompson, the wave of militant strikes at Boeing, the East Coast docks, Amazon, and Starbucks, and the extremely narrow oligarchic character of the incoming Trump administration presage a government of extreme crisis. The American ruling class already maintains a vast prison gulag populated overwhelmingly by working class and poor people. According to the Prison Policy Initiative, in 2024, some 1.9 million were locked up in the U.S., with an incarceration rate of 583 per 100,000 residents. This included 448,000 people who had not been convicted but were locked up in local jails. The World Population Review reported in October 2021 that the U.S. had the most incarcerated people of any country in the world and accounted for roughly 25% of the world's total prison population. It pointed out that the U.S. prison population had exploded since 1972, when it totaled 200,000. 25 prisoners have been executed in 9 states in the United States in 2024, and more than 2,000 prisoners are on death row in states across the country. In an article published in the New York Daily Tribune on February 17, 1853, Karl Marx wrote, "It would be very difficult, if not altogether impossible, to establish any principle upon which the justice or expediency of capital punishment could be founded in a society glorifying in its civilization." His remarks retain their full relevance for the present situation, in which American and world capitalism are descending into global war and barbarism. For these articles and more, visit the World Socialist website at wsws.org. This has been an AI-generated narration.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.